This is Alive with Joseph.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We started by dealing with, you know, correcting the error. And yesterday we dealt extensively on voices. And I'm going to add to that tonight on voices. And what I'm going to be dealing with tonight is I'll start from the negative and we'll conclude, you know, in what is our right in redemption. Amen. So we're going to be looking at, you know, breaking the power of enchantment. Breaking the power of enchantment. Still correcting the error. Amen. Numbers 22 from verse 1 to 7, I read. It says, then the Israelites traveled to the plains of Moab and camped along the Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak, son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites and Moab. And Moab was terrified because there were so many people indeed. Moab was filled with dread because of the Israelites. The Moabites said to the elders of Midian, this horde is going to lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass of the field. So Balak, son of Zippor, who was king of Moab at that time, sent messengers to summon Balaam, son of Beor, who was at Bethor, near the Euphrates River in his native land. Balak said, a people has come out of Egypt. They cover the face of the land and have settled next to me. Now come and put a curse on these people because they are too powerful for me. Perhaps then I will be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that whoever you bless is blessed and whoever you curse is cursed. The elders of Moab and Midian left, taking with them the fee for divination. So when I told you yesterday that Balaam is not a man of God, he is a diviner, he's a sorcerer. So those days when you go to consult a diviner or a sorcerer, you take a fee called the fee of divination. So they took a fee of divination. When they came to Balaam, they told him what Balak had said. Now go quickly to Numbers 23. We're going to read from verse 1 to 8 and we'll also read verse 23. Numbers 23 from verse 1 to 8. We will also read verse 23. Now I read, it says, Balaam said, build me 7 altars here and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me. Balak did as Balaam said, and the two of them offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Then Balaam said to Balak, stay here beside your offering while I go aside. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet with me. Whatever he reveals to me, I will tell you. Then he went off to a barren height. God met with him, and Balaam said, I have prepared 7 altars, and on each altar I have offered a bull and a ram. The Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, go back to Balak and give him these words. So he went back to him and found him standing beside his offering with all the Moabite officials. Then Balaam spoke his message. Balak brought me from Aram, the king of Moab, from the eastern mountains. Come, he said, curse Jacob for me, curse and denounce Israel. Another translation will say, King James will say, defile Israel. I will use more of that word, defile, in the course of my teaching. So he said, defile Israel. Now, verse 8 says, how can I curse those whom God has not cursed? And how can I denounce those whom the Lord has not cursed? Denounce. That is your testimony in the name of Jesus. Listen, no one can curse you in the name of Jesus. The blessing of the Lord is upon you. Therefore, anyone that dares curse you, the curse returns back to their head in the name of Jesus. Now, jump quickly to verse 23. I read. It says, there is no divination against Jacob, no evil omen against Israel. It will not be said of Jacob and of Israel, see what God has done. I read it in King James. King James puts it this way. Verse 23 of the same scripture, King James, put the King James on the screen as well for us. Only verse 23. It says, surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what had God wrought. Amen. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if the Bible mentions a thing and devote almost 2, you know, chapters to it, it then means that God wants us to pay attention to it because it is real. It means that God wants us to pay attention to this thing because it is real. Almost entire two chapters is devoted to this matter. So let's look at what is enchantment. Enchantments are words that are carefully and intentionally spoken from diabolical altars to destroy life, limit a person's opportunity, incapacitate a potential, and frustrate progress. It is a word spoken from diabolical altars to destroy lives, limit a person's opportunities, incapacitate a potential, and ultimately frustrate progress. The target of enchantment is always your potential. The target of an enchantment is to make sure that the consistent progress the person is making is terribly frustrated. So that the progress and the advancement is aborted. Understand that you are called to do exploits as a child of God. You are called to do exploits. By redemption, you are called to do exploits. Actually, the book of Daniel, chapter 11, verse 32 tells us, it said, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall they corrupt by flattery. But the people that do know their God shall be strong, and they shall do exploits." What then is exploits? Exploit is the maximization of your potential. Exploit is the exploration of your opportunities. Exploit is the consistent progress in the direction of your desired dreams and vision. Exploits is the consistent progress in the direction of your desired dreams and progress, of your desired dreams and vision. I pray for you today, in this last quarter of the year, you shall do exploits in the name of Jesus. I say you shall do exploits in the name of Jesus. Wherever you go after now, exploits will be your portion in the name of Jesus. Whatever you do after now, it shall be filled with exploits in the name of Jesus. I say you will do exploits in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise tonight if you believe it. Now, when Balak saw the advancement of Israel, when he saw the exploits of Israel, when he saw the achievement of Israel, he couldn't stand it. Then he hired a sorcerer. He went and hired an enchanter to try to stop Israel from further progress. He went and hired an enchanter to try to stop Israel from further progress. One thing I will give to Balak is this, is that, you know, he understands that life is more spiritual than it is physical. Balak was the king of Moabites at that moment, so which means that he surely had an army. He was a king over a kingdom, so he had an army. He had a powerful army. They had weapons, or, you know, the best weapon of choice that was available to them in their armory. They had warriors at their disposal. But as soon as he saw Israel, he didn't deploy his military might. He didn't deploy his army. Instead, the first thing he did was to hire a sorcerer. The first thing he did was to hire an enchanter. Remember, Israel just coming out of Egypt. So they didn't even have any coordinated army. They didn't have, you know, soldiers. They didn't have trains. We're talking about a people coming out. You know, the Bible said, and the theologians will tell us that there are about 3 million of them or so that came out. Now, they came out. You can imagine the chaos of those people that came out. The women, the children, the elderly people. So in terms of military might, they had no military might. Moab was already an established kingdom, which means they had a proper military might, they had proper weapons, and yet Balak did not deploy his military might. Instead, what he did was to hire an enchanter. When he saw them approaching, he knew that the battle was more spiritual than it was physical. He hired a sorcerer. There are many believers who don't take spiritual things serious. There are many believers who play with spiritual things. And that is the reason why they fail where they are supposed to make progress. That is why they fail where they are supposed to advance. There are many believers who have failed to understand that the physical realm is controlled from the realms of the spirit. The seen realm is controlled from the unseen realm. This man had military might. He had choice soldiers. He had warriors. He had weapons. And yet, the first thing he did was to take the battle to the realms of the spirit. I pray for you. May your eyes open in the name of Jesus. I say, may your eyes open in the name of Jesus. So there are many believers who do not understand that the realms of the physical is controlled from the realms of the spirit. There are people who, some of you know, who don't regard church. There are those who don't regard church. Even, you know, they don't, they look at you sometimes and they ask you, why, what is the need of you waking up every morning to pray? You know, why are you wasting your time? Every time it's church. My friend, those are enemies of your soul. They don't understand that the realms of the spirit rule over the physical. Actually, some of them understand because why? Some of them are involving witchcraft. Some of them are involving witchcraft. Some of them go to see inyangas and all of those things. Hallelujah. But I pray for you tonight, from this moment onwards, you will live life supernaturally in the name of Jesus. The Apostle Paul tells us that to be carnally minded is dead, to be spiritually minded is life. So you can't enjoy life if you are not spiritually minded. You cannot have dominion over life if you don't first and foremost view life as spiritual. Balak has been a man who approaches life spiritually. Balak was not, he was not a man who approached life naturally. Inasmuch as he was the king over a kingdom and have strong army and a lot of weapons in his armory, yet his first approach was to go spiritual. He has always been a man who takes care of things spiritually first before he approaches his physical. Are you that kind of a believer who handles things spiritually first before you take care of it physically? He was a man who never underscores the importance of spirituality in dealing with earthly affairs. I pray for you today, whatever has limited you in the natural, overcome in the name of Jesus. I say overcome in the name of Jesus. Whatever in the natural has limited your progress, whatever in the natural has limited, has sabotaged your progress, I decree and I declare by the power of the Holy Spirit, overcome in the name of Jesus. Overcome in the name of Jesus. On the wings of these 3 days, prayer and fasting, receive your liberty, receive your deliverance in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise if you believe it tonight. Whatever will not allow you maximize your potential, whatever will not allow you enjoy continuous progress, whatever will not allow you, allow your opportunities translate into manifestation. I pray for you today. That power is broken in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hear this, friends. If God had not intervened and the enchantment of Balaam had worked, the atmosphere of Israel would have been defiled and corrupted. Their atmosphere would have been defiled. Their atmosphere would have been corrupted if God had not intervened. If God had not intervened, there are many well-meaning believers whose atmosphere has been defiled, whose atmosphere has been corrupted. There are well-meaning Christians whose family has been defiled and corrupted. There are many well-meaning believers whose businesses has been corrupted. Businesses has been defiled. Careers defiled. Businesses defiled by enchantments. By enchantments. Atmospheres contaminated. Listen, friends, if the enchantment had worked and their atmosphere was defiled, Israel would have probably been overtaken. They would have been overtaken, and nobody would have known that words were released to defy their atmosphere. And by the time the defilement and the curse was released over them, it derails them. Listen, they were busy enjoying life. They didn't know that someone has hired a marabout. He has hired a sorcerer and has built 7 altars on top of 7 mountains to curse them. And do you know that the mountains were overlooking them? The mountains were overlooking them. So he was standing, overlooking them and releasing words, was enchanting words. But thank God, we serve a God who neither sleeps nor slumber. We serve a God who will not allow our enemies to rejoice and triumph over us. We serve a God who neither sleeps nor slumber. The God whose eyes go to and fro, looking for the righteous to deliver. I announce over you, every enchantment releasing your direction, be broken in the name of Jesus. Command it to catch fire in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise tonight in the name of Jesus. The enchantment had worked, their atmosphere will have been defied.
People have seen all kinds of things happening to them without them knowing that their issue was already concluded in the spirit realm. That's why you see many lives, things are just happening. You're wondering, but he wasn't like this before. Many of you, there are some things that are happening to you physically that you are rationalizing, that you are, you know, you are using logic to deal with it. You're looking at the business and say, the business is not moving forward. You're saying, well, you know, the reason the business is not moving forward is probably because of the foreign tariffs. It's probably because of the policies. So you are using logic. You are using logic on what has spiritual roots. Listen, friends, if the enchantment of Balaam had worked, Israel's atmosphere would have been defiled. And the exploits they were having would have stopped. The profit the business was making would have stopped. The harmony and peace in the marriage would have stopped. The career that was thriving would have stopped. The children that were doing well at school, their destiny would have been aborted. The things that was going well would have stopped. If that enchantment has worked, if God did not intervene, they would have gone into the place where all of a sudden progress is aborted. All of a sudden advancement is aborted. And they're wondering what is going on. Or maybe because, you know, the economy, maybe because this. And yet, it was coming from the realms of the spirit. Didn't God say to you and I that in the days of famine, you shall have abundance? Didn't God say to you and I, in the days of famine, you shall have plenty? Didn't God say to you and I, in the days of famine, it will not come near you? My friend, Isaac sowed in the same land in the midst of famine. He had 100-fold. So my friend, whether there is chaos or not in the economy, it should not affect you. Why? Because you do not run your business from the natural. Because he that is from above is above all. Give Jesus praise tonight. My friend, you are from above. Your business is from above. You should thrive. Even if your business is on top of a shrine, you must prosper. Whether the devil likes it or not. Hallelujah. When you study what Balak said, Balak gave a very powerful description of Israel. Without them knowing that their enemy had already sized them up and had a good intel about them. Balak said, the people are mighty. So whatever it is that is making them mighty, I want to target it. I want to target it from this altar. Let us curse them. Let us enchant until whatever is making them mighty is swallowed up. Balak said, let us stop this kind of progress they are making. His intention was to stop their progress. There are many of you whose exploits has been arrested. Whose exploits has been arrested by enchantment. There are some of you right now, your advancement has been arrested because of enchantment. It has been arrested. The profit of your business is dwindling because it has been arrested by enchantment. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise tonight. But I came to declare tonight that devil is a bastard. I said that devil is a bastard. That is why tonight is a serious night. Because whatever has arrested your development, I command the power be broken in the name of Jesus. Whatever arrested your progress, the power is broken in the name of Jesus. Whatever arrested your exploit, the power broken in the name of Jesus. I declare tonight, whatever power arrested your movement, your progress, let it be broken in the name of Jesus. I declare the enchantment is broken in the name of Jesus. Thunder, no more enchantment. Thunder, no more enchantment. Thunder, for the last time, no more enchantment. If you believe it, give Jesus praise tonight. You and I must deal with things that defile atmosphere, thereby incapacitating progress and truncating advancement. You and I must deal with it. He said, let us defile them. Let us curse them. Whatever it is that makes it that they walk through the wilderness without any feeble person among them, let's defile it. Whatever it is that makes them walk through the wilderness, the snakes and the scorpions is not biting them. Let us tamper with it and defile it. Whatever it is that makes it, you know, their clothes were not worn out. Let us defile it. Whatever it is that makes it, they've gone through the wilderness for 40 years. Their shoes didn't wear out. Let us defile it. Let us contaminate it. Let us curse it so that their progress can be aborted. Child of God, atmosphere is everything. I pray for you today, after this very moment, whatever enchantment has defied your atmosphere is consumed by fire in the name of Jesus. Whatever you have not seen by labor, in the next 4 months, receive it by favor in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your amen. I said, receive it by favor in the name of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus Christ, you will do exploits in the name of Jesus. Exceed expectation in the name of Jesus. Go beyond their boundaries in the name of Jesus. Every line they have drawn for you, they drew the line and said, let us see how you will pass it. My friend, jump and pass. In the name of Jesus. I say jump and pass in the name of Jesus. I say jump and pass in the name of Jesus. You are a line crosser in the name of Jesus. You break barriers in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your crazy praise tonight. Celebrate him tonight. They drew the line on the floor and said, let's see how you will go beyond it. That devil is a pastor. They forgot that you are the express image of the Almighty God. They forgot you are the bone of his bone, the flesh of his flesh. He that is with you is majority. Celebrate your father tonight. Hallelujah. Enchantments are words that are intentionally spoken from a spiritual point to incapacitate a person's potential, to limit their opportunities, to frustrate their progress. The battle of life is the battle of words, friends. Life is regulated by words. Many wake up and start doing what they were not planning to do because words have been released over them. Many wake up and they start acting out of character because words have been released over there. Many wake up and they start doing the things that nobody ever thought they would ever do because words have been released that has reprogrammed their life. They start acting contrary to eternal purposes for their destiny. That you're making the kind of decisions you're making and then you're counting losses. Something has been enchanted into your atmosphere. Something has been programmed against your life. You are in the midst of situation where everybody seems to be doing well, excluding you. And you think it's normal. Words have been used to defile your atmosphere, thereby incapacitating you. But tonight, I lipokataya. Those words are reversed. They are turned into a blessing in the name of Jesus. Listen, friends, something is responsible for the steps of men and women that they are taking. Something is responsible for every step men, women take on the planet Earth. I showed you that in the book of Genesis 49, when Jacob was about to die, how he programmed the destiny of his sons by words. And those words became the lifestyle, not just of his sons, but became the lifestyle of their tribes. The children that were born into those tribes, those words became the lifestyle of those of that tribe. Hallelujah. And many of you here that have been, you have been in a situation of your life where, you know, by the enchantment of a wife, a husband, a father, a mother, a boyfriend, girlfriend, a family member, a friend, a teacher, a boss, a colleague, a subordinate, your atmosphere has been defiled. By the enchantment. They don't tell you it's enchantment. Nobody comes and tell you where we're enchanting. No, no, no. Because some of them don't even know what the words are. But they know what they are saying. A wife, the husband, the atmosphere has been defied by the husband's words. A husband, the atmosphere has been defied by the wife's words. Words regulate activities. Words regulate productivity. Hear me, words regulate opportunities. Words are not ordinary as you think. They regulate activity, regulate productivity, and they regulate opportunity. Never forget that. Words regulate activity, productivity, and opportunities. In the book of Joshua, after they had conquered Jericho, look at this quickly. After they have conquered Jericho, listen to the words that Joshua spoke. After they had conquered Jericho, Joshua made a pronouncement. And these were the words he spoke. He said, at that time, Joshua pronounced this solemn oath. Curse before the Lord is the one who undertakes to rebuild this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn, he will lay his foundation. And at the cost of his youngest son, he will set up his gates. Put King James for me. At the curse, when you start, he said, when they start the journey, thank you. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, curse be the man before the Lord that rises up to build this city, Jericho. He will lay foundation with his first child, and he will complete the journey with his last child. Enchantment. Words are not ordinary, my friend. That is why praying in the morning. Listen, I will never stop telling you that too, because I'm your father. Fathers never stop talking. Because if I stop, God will hold me accountable. I'll give account to God. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. Listen, you know, some years ago, that's how serious I am with my life. Me and my friend, one of my pastor friends, Apostle Schneider, we were in Palabra, we were working in Palabra town. Then one small boy just came from nowhere. And with his toy gun, was saying, Pishan, 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 I shoot you. I said, the devil is a bastard. You didn't shoot me. I said, back to sender, shoot me. I'm serious. That's how serious. I said, back to sender. And I'm serious. You know, my friend was laughing, but he doesn't know me. I don't play with words. From nowhere, what did I do you that you're shooting me? Go shoot someone else, not me. You leave everybody inside the mall. You left everybody. I'm the one you're looking for to shoot. No, my friends. I said, no, you didn't shoot me. I said, reject it. Return back to sender. Not me. No, no way. You can't shoot me. I'm invincible. No bullet will touch me. No bullet has my name on it. Words are powerful. And I don't play with words. You may say, well, you're paranoid. I'd rather be paranoid than to allow one boy's words. I don't know who he is. I don't know where he's coming. I don't know if he's a spirit entity that has worn the clothes of a small boy to release words over my life. And the way we people are being shot in South Africa, then someone says, I shoot you, you keep quiet. No, my friend, reject it. Amen. I rejected it. Words are powerful. At the cost of his firstborn, he released the words. Several years later, years later, an innocent man that prospered decided to do something. He bought the place and decided to do something good. He decided to rebuild the wall. Look at what happened to him. First Kings. This happened in Joshua. But the incident happened, the repercussion came into manifestation in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 34. The Bible said, in Ahab's time, Hiel of Bethel rebuilt Jericho. He laid his foundation at the cost of his first son, Abiram. And he set up the gates at the cost of his youngest son, Segod, in accordance with the word of the Lord spoken by Joshua, son of Nun. Development came, it didn't cancel the words. Civilization came, it didn't cancel the words. He started laying the foundation. He started with the first son, concluded the journey with his last son. Friends, enchantments are real. Words are regulated. Words rather regulate destinies. Words regulate destinies. Words regulate destinies. That is an error you have to correct. That is an error you must correct. If you do not correct that error, unnecessary words will keep having a hold over your life. It's an error you must correct. Go back to the scripture quickly. Matthew 13. When you read from verse 1 to 9, which are key scripture for this discussion, I want to show you something. The Bible said, when you read, he said, and some, but others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who has ears? Let him hear. Now, we've been dealing with the seeds that fell by the wayside, stony ground, and among stones. Now, we never touch the good ground. Now, listen, friends. The Bible said some seeds fell on good grounds. And even though they fell on good grounds, amongst the seed that fell on good grounds, their results wasn't also the same. Their results were different. Some are 30-fold results. Some are 60-fold results. Some are 100-fold. That's the same thing you see in the child in the house of God, in the church of Jesus Christ. Our results are not the same. Our results are not the same. By the virtue of new birth, listen, friends, you are now a seed that is in good ground. You are now a seed that is in good ground. Hear what the scripture says. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Thunder, the new is here. Thunder, the new is here. Thunder, the new is here. You are now a new creation in Christ. That is to say, you are now planted by salvation into a good ground. Romans 5, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory. By the virtue of your new birth, you are now justified by faith. And that is why, friends, you must live by faith, because the just shall live by faith. You cannot produce hundredfold if you ignore faith, even though you are in a good ground. Even though you are in a good ground. Even though you are in a good ground. The Bible says, 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God, now you are born of God. How do you overcome the world? This is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. So friends, for you to produce hundredfold, there must of necessity, you walking by faith, understanding that you are now in a good ground, and faith is required to bring forth hundredfold. As a seed planted in a good ground to deliver maximally, you must live by faith. And the reason why many are still under the influence of the ground they were born into, and they are not correcting the error, is because they do not understand the legal and the vital aspect of redemption. That is why, even though now that they are born again, they have been translated, they are now in a new ground, in a good ground, but they are still seeing the manifestation of the thorny ground, seeing manifestation of the stony ground, seeing manifestation of the wayside ground. Why? Because they do not understand the legal and the vital aspect of redemption. Child of God, you must come to understand the legal and the vital aspects of redemption, because when you do not understand this, you will not take advantage of the privileges of redemption. And when the enemy knows that you don't know, the enemy takes advantage of you. They know not, neither will they understand. Because they don't know, they walk in darkness. They are not supposed to be in darkness. Even though they are light, they are walking in darkness. Why? Because they do not know. They are not walking in darkness because darkness is superior. They are walking in darkness because they do not know. What they ought to know that should cause their light to shine in the midst of darkness, they don't know it. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise tonight. So you must understand the legal and the vital aspects of redemption. Because when you do not understand this, you will not take advantage of the privileges of redemption. What is the legal aspect of redemption? It is what Jesus Christ has done for us. The substitutionary work of Christ on the cross. That is the legal part. Your salvation is not a fluke. It is legal. Your salvation is legal. What is the vital aspect of redemption? It is your part in taking full advantage of what Jesus has done for you. And that is where many believers are missing it. They are not playing their parts. They are not playing their parts. They are not playing their part in taking full advantage of what Jesus has done for them. It is your part in enforcing your liberty, making sure that you maintain what Jesus has obtained. Friends, the devil has no legal right to question your authority. When he comes to question your authority, remind him that he has been disarmed. Remind him how Jesus made a public spectacle of him. Tell him the same thing that you did through Jesus to him over 2,000 years ago. You will repeat it again. If Jesus didn't tell the devil, get out of here, the devil wouldn't have gotten out of here. Many of you keep quiet. You keep quiet. You keep quiet. You must remind him. You must remind. The Bible tells us in Colossians 2, verse 11 to 15, in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him. Ah, my friend, you are buried with Christ too. When you rose with him. The old you died. The new you resurrected. The old you that was planted in a stony ground soil died. The new you planted in a good ground resurrected. My friend, your glory days are here in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your loudest amen. In which you were also raised, can you see, with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you live alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. My friend, not your neighbor, tell them I'm forgiven. Look at them again, tell them I'm forgiven. Laugh like me. Tell them I'm forgiven. Oh yes, I'm forgiven. Oh yes, I'm forgiven. They don't have to like you, you are forgiven. Oh, they know your weaknesses. You're forgiven. They look at you and say, you're not the type God should bless. I'm forgiven. Take it up with the Father. Give Jesus praise tonight. Hey! Forgiven. Bible said, he forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge. He canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us, condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. My friend, this is you in a good ground. A public spectacle has been made of the devil. Oh, Malubarata Yanama, my friend, he has triumphed on your behalf. And therefore, I declare over you tonight, triumph in the name of Jesus. I say triumph in the name of Jesus. Triumph in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise tonight if you believe it. This is identification with Christ. The charges have been canceled. The charges have been canceled. The legal demands of the soil of your natural family, which you fell into, has been canceled. The legal demand that says, oh, I posted something on my page the other day. You know, that says that everyone who comes to this family must carry the load. No. Now I'm in Christ. I will not carry any load. Why? The legal demand has been paid for. When Jesus paid for it, he paid for it for time and for eternity. He didn't pay instrumental. He didn't lay by. He paid once. Give Jesus praise. So whatever the demand from the soil you fell into is making on you, you must arise and say, no more demands. Jesus paid. He paid. He paid. They say people don't prosper in this family. Jesus has paid. I am exempted. They say people never marry in this family. Jesus has paid. I am exempted. They say people die prematurely in this family. Jesus has paid. I am exempted. Give Jesus praise tonight. The legal demand is paid. Yes, you may have fallen into a stony soil, but I came to announce the legal demand for that stony soil has been paid for. Now you are in a good ground. Now you are in a good ground. Now you are in a good ground. Celebrate the Lord tonight. Give him praise. You're in a good ground. You're in a good ground. You're in a good ground. You no longer allow them to say, you know, actually, you know, in this family, that is how it happens to us. Happens to us. Who is the us? Minus me. Who is the us? Minus me. Us. Which us? You people are just having the privilege of having me as a son here. Who are the us? It's just that I cannot cancel the name legally. But who are the us? I'm not in a good ground. Look at your neighbor. Tell them I'm in a good ground. Tell them I am in a good ground. Give Jesus praise tonight. Hallelujah. And I've come to discover the reason why many believers are still not enforcing redemption is because they don't understand that they are now in a good soil by new birth. Now, walk in that new soil. Stop entangling yourself with the soil God has delivered you from. They say they are doing, you know, every Easter we must all gather together so that we can come and be clapping hands. Tell them, we will not gather. Me, I'm not gathering. Stop entangling yourself. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5 verse 1, in this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast then and do not be hampered and held ensnared and submit again to a yoke of slavery which you have once put off. Child of God, you are the one that must stand. Nobody will do the standing for you. You are the one that must stand. You notice a pattern. You stand and cancel the pattern. I notice a pattern from where I came from. I had to stand and put a stop on the pattern. You stand and put a stop on the pattern. You're the one that must stand. You're the one that must stand. Paul, the apostle Paul speaking. He said to us, having done not to stand, stand therefore. You are not grafted into a new soil. Stand fast in that soil. Maintain your ground in that soil. According to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19. Therefore, you are now no longer outsiders, exiles, migrants, and aliens excluded from the rights of citizens. But you now share citizenship with the saints, God's own people, consecrated, set apart for himself. You belong to God's own household. You know, some of you may not understand this. I will understand it better than you. Because I'm a migrant who has become a citizen. You may not fully understand, but I understand what is he saying. Now I've been grafted in. You don't have to like me. I'm a South African citizen. If you like, get angry. Say, I carry passport. I'm a South African citizen. I've been grafted in. I vote like you vote. I can collect credit like you collected credit. Now you have been grafted in, my friend. You are now a citizen of heaven. Are you understanding me? You are now a saint of God. You are now born of his bone. My friend, born again has made you a heaven citizen. What kills people on the earth should never touch you except God permits it. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Hallelujah. You belong. Thunder, I belong. Thunder, I belong. Thunder, I belong. Give the Lord your praise if you believe you belong. You belong. That is who you are. You belong. That is who you are. And the reason why many believers can't speak to Satan that way is because they have not understood identification with Christ. Your identity with Christ, you died with him, was buried with him, you rose with him. Even now that he has raised you up, you are seated with him in the heavenly, far above. Not nearly above. Not barely above. But what? Far. Can I hear you say, far, 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 far. Give the Lord your praise tonight. That's where you are. Far above principalities and powers. Far above poverty. Far above generational curse. Far above ancestral vows. You are now far above. How many far above believers we have in the house? How many far above believers do we have in the house? How many far above do we have in the house? Rejoice! You are far above. Rejoice! You are far above. Far above that limitation. Far above that battle. Far above that gang up. Far above that lies. Far above those arrows. You are far above that sickness. Give the Lord your praise. Give the Lord your praise. I like it that you're standing. Listen to this. And Ephesians 2:6 now says, and God has raised us up. Ah, my friend, look for five people. Announce to them, I've been raised up. Look for five people. Tell them I've been raised up. Tell them I've been raised up with Christ. I am raised up. Raised up with Christ. 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 My friend, raised up. You are raised up with Christ. You triumph over sin. You triumph over darkness. You triumph over sickness. You triumph over ancestral vows. You triumph. You triumph. You triumph. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Now, how do you take hold of and enforce that which has been done through the blood? It is by the revelation of what you're hearing now, which I know has broken forth in your spirit. Now, take the word you have heard, renew your mind, renew your conscience, superimpose what you are hearing now, superimpose it. Take the word you're hearing now, look at it intently, look at it, look at it, look at it, look at it. Let light break out. Listen, the 3 days doesn't end here. Continue. Go look at what you have heard. Look at it. Look at it. Take the word. Speak it to yourself until you are one with it. Speak it to yourself. Child of God, speak it to yourself. Actually, Psalm 124, verse 7 to 8, last scripture. I promise this is the last scripture. It says, we are like a bird escaped from the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken. We have escaped. Why? Our help is in the name of the Lord. How many have escaped? How many have escaped? You have escaped the soil you were born into. You have escaped the stony soil. You have escaped the thorny soil. You have escaped the wayside soil. I say you have escaped the stony ground. You have escaped the thorny soil. You have escaped the wayside soil. Ah! You have escaped. You have escaped. Child of God, you have escaped. Thunder, I have escaped. Thunder, I have escaped. Thunder, I have escaped. Give the Lord your praise if you believe it tonight. Oh yes, you have escaped. Lift your voice in thanksgiving. Let us bless the Lord. Lift your voice in thanksgiving.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you were blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.